Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, guilt can sneak into everything: work, relationships, parenting, even the moments when you're meant to be resting. For so many people, it's become the background noise of everyday life. Today, I'm talking about how to turn that volume down with Dr. Jennifer Reed, clinical psychiatrist and assistant professor at the University of Pennsylvania, whose new book is called Guilt Free: Reclaiming Your Life from Unreasonable Expectations. Jennifer, you're very welcome.
Claire, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
And as a psychiatrist, this is something that you had heard over and over again, the same question from your clients: why do I feel so guilty all the time?
Mm-hmm. And you know, I maybe didn't even hear them use the word guilt. They may not have even had that language. It may have just been, why do I always feel like I'm running behind? I'm not as organized as I should be. I'm just not enough. I'm not doing enough. And I think that's where I wanted to understand, what is this feeling that so many women are experiencing?
And what do you think is feeding into it? Is it the way we have set up modern life, that in many ways so much is achievable, but that's piling the pressure on us?
I do think that as our opportunities, I mean, many women have been trailblazers in pushing for more opportunities with careers and other experiences, that the expectations that we carry and that the culture, society sort of places on us really have not changed, have not updated all that well. And so when I was looking into some of those key expectations that women are socialized to feel from a very young age, they included things like being a constant caretaker, like taking care of everyone in our lives and in our different roles, and also being accountable for other people's emotions. Like, let's go try and make this the perfect party so that our friend will be happy, or let's plan something fun so our, you know, sister won't be disappointed that we couldn't make it to one of her events. Like, I think some of those expectations are really driving women to experience so much guilt.
And you do open the book by saying this book is for everyone. Guilt is genderless. But as you've just said there in your last answer, you really do focus on women because it was something you really felt was quite a female issue.
Well, I was just hearing it so commonly from the women in my practice and the women in my personal life, and was experiencing it myself. This sense of when I'm doing one thing in one role, I'm letting something else fall or slide, or I'm not doing my best in that role. I do think that certainly this occurs in everyone's life, and I hear it also in those who work maybe in healthcare or other sort of caring professions, teachers, counselors, that pressure to be caretakers. But I think young girls and then women are really uniquely under this pressure that this just would come naturally to us, that we should be constantly taking care of everyone.
So one of your chapters is entitled, Why Do Women Experience So Much Guilt? Can you tell us a little about the four furies of unreasonable expectations?
Absolutely. So when I really looked at how do I define guilt, how do I describe it so that we do have this language, I came up with these two variables for the guilt equation. One is our expectations, these four furies, which I will share. And the other side is, what's our perceived reality? What are we noticing that we're actually doing in our lives, which are many, many very positive things. And that I was hearing from patients as well. They were really discounting or not even noticing what they were contributing. So the four furies are these four main types of expectations. So the two I just mentioned, constant caretaking and this hyper accountability for other people's emotional experience, which we can't truly control. The other two are really this idea that we should be striving for perfection, really in everything, particularly self-control. What are we eating? What are we saying? What are we feeling? What are we drinking? What are we experiencing? How are we caring for others? And the final one is this sense that we need to have it all, that there are these opportunities and we should be able to take advantage of all of them and do it in a way that almost appears effortless, which of course is another impossible expectation.
Wow. When you're working in clinic, does shining a light on this make a difference? Or do people who are feeling stuck with guilt need to take steps to move away from that feeling?
Well, I think having the language for it, having something to call it, is really important, because not only is it helpful for our understanding of our own unique experience, it also helps us recognize that we are existing in this time and place, and so many other women are having this experience, that it creates the sense of community, that I'm not alone. I'm not like sitting over here by myself just getting it wrong while everyone else seems to be getting it right. I think having that community and me being able to, through the lens of working as a psychiatrist, I've spoken to so many women. I know how common this is. This is not a unique individual experience. And I think that's a really important starting point so we can start working through and sort of shifting this really sticky feeling of guilt.
We have a relationships and intimacy coach who comes on the show regularly, and her last piece was talking about guilt and shame. And she really talked about the distinction between the two, and she described it that guilt is feeling you've done something wrong, where shame goes deeper, that there's something inherently wrong with you, which could obviously have such an impact on somebody to feel like they have to carry that. How does guilt show up in every day? You were saying that you would feel overwhelmed, that you're just not enough. But how else will it manifest that people might not be aware of?
Yeah, that's a great way. I mean, to differentiate between guilt and shame is important, because I agree. Guilt is a sense I'm not doing enough, or I'm doing the wrong things. But that can become almost constant and turn into a sense of shame, that my entire being is not worthwhile or is not valuable. So that's one of the really negative outcomes of so much guilt. Guilt shows up in our day-to-day in a lot of the language. The way that we speak to ourselves might be, I never get this right, or I can't believe I didn't follow through with what I was planning again, or I should be doing so much better, or I'm a bad mom because my child seemed sad today, or, you know, all these different ways that we're talking to ourselves and saying what I am now is not enough, that I should be doing much more, or I should be doing it in a better way, a more, you know, perfect way. And I think that's where you're going to feel that showing up. And it may be that particular roles or particular dynamics trigger more guilt for you. You may feel more guilt at home when you're leaving a child, say, to go to work, than you might feel in that workspace, or the opposite might be true. So I think it's starting to understand, where am I receiving the most triggers? Is it when I'm talking to my parents, for example, or is it when I'm interacting with my, you know, boss at work, to help us understand what are our unique triggers for this sort of universal feeling?
And you talk in the book about focusing on the action rather than the character. Talk to us a little bit about that, how we can distort that perception in our minds.
Right. And so this is where we broaden out what we perceive as a failure of, you know, we're not meeting these sort of unreasonably high expectations, and we're saying to ourselves, I'm just no good at all. I am just broadly not a worthwhile person. Again, shifting into that sense of shame, I think really pulling back. And I ask that of patients. I'll say, hey, you know, you're feeling guilty. Okay, I'm really, you know, proud that you're able to describe that. Let's talk through what you did wrong. And I think when I do that, it's not uncommon for a woman to say, I don't know exactly, but I feel like I'm getting everything wrong, right? There's this really broad generalization of that feeling, as opposed to a more adaptive type of guilt that we all experience, which is, oh, you know what? I let my friend down in this specific way. I forgot that we were having lunch and we had to reschedule. And so now I'm feeling guilty about that. What am I going to do? I'm going to maybe apologize to that friend, and we're going to reschedule. So there's a specific issue, a specific thing you may feel guilty about, and you have the opportunity to repair or apologize or move forward and learn about how not to do this again. That's very different than this sense of, I'm a bad mom because I can't do everything to make sure that my child is always happy.
Yeah, or, you know, the forgetting the friend's birthday that you mentioned, or the lunch, you know, you just forgot something because you're busy. You're not a bad friend. And it's just trying not to inflate it too far.
Exactly, because then it turns into this heavy criticism. And when you're being so hard on yourself, you know, we might try to use guilt as motivation. Like, if I tell myself I'm the absolute worst, laziest person, maybe that'll get me to the gym. But that's really forcing yourself to start from behind and to start from this place of criticism. Like, I've already messed up and now I need to try and make it better. And it's very different from something like self-compassion, where it's, okay, I can be honest with myself. For example, I feel badly that I forgot my friend's, you know, this lunch or her birthday. That isn't aligned with the way I want to interact with my friendship. So I'm going to try and make a change. And that's a very sort of different scenario.
You also talk in the book about how we're going to have to accept that people are going to be disappointed in us. We are going to let people down from time to time. We're going to forget things. We're going to drop balls. We're not going to show up as our best selves. And that kind of plays into that perfectionism again, doesn't it? Because even as I'm saying that, I can feel something pulling inside of me. We don't want to let people down. Is that just a very natural way to be? Obviously, that tribal mentality that to survive, we want to be liked within our group.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I think that is hardwired. And I do talk about disappointment a lot because I think this is really, really important. It's truly impossible to avoid disappointing people. And really the only way to do that would be to live in total isolation, which of course we're not going to do. So the ability to see disappointment as just an emotional signal from something that happened in our environment or someone else's environment that isn't going to last forever. I think when we sort of catastrophize disappointment, or we think if I disappoint someone, that is incredibly damaging, they'll never forgive me, on and on and on, we're not allowing that emotion to just exist and then dissipate. Like, it really isn't so damaging. And I want to point out that it might be not even be that you did something wrong to disappoint someone. It might be that you made a decision that was best for you or best for your family, and that led to disappointment in someone else, which you can't control. And so I try to point out, you can be a very loving and wonderful person and still disappoint others. Like, that doesn't mean that you've actually done something wrong. And I think the more we can really get comfortable, or at least more comfortable with that, that's a really powerful change we can make.
How can we figure out if the expectations that we're setting for ourselves are realistic or fair?
Well, I think I use this a lot in my own life, is I'll have a guilty moment and I'll think to myself, what is the expectation here? And very often, not always, but very often it is that I would never XYZ. I would never say no to my son when he wants to play a game because I'm tired or I have something else I want to do. I would never, you know, take a day off from exercising because I just feel tired and need some rest. So I catch myself and I see, what is that expectation? And powerfully, what is shaping it? Who is shaping it? And I think the more aware you are of that, the more aware you can say, oh, this is a lot of pressure I'm receiving from my family members, for example, or from when I went online the other day and I was looking up, you know, how should a person be a good friend? And I was letting that define it for me. And so I think it allows you to see, are these expectations even achievable? Are they aligned with my values? Or do I actually want to start working to break them down and let them go?
So it really comes to that self-awareness, doesn't it? It's like you said, it even happens to you. You know, you're working in this every day. You're a university professor of psychiatry. You're in clinic. So you've researched and written for this book, and yet guilt still comes and finds its way to you. So we can't avoid it, but it's about catching it and not letting it take over.
Exactly, that I'm sort of living in this time and place where these expectations are very present for women, and that the infrastructure doesn't necessarily support the increase in opportunities that we have. So the important thing is not, I will never ever feel guilty, but to recognize it and not let it into the driver's seat. I think that's really where we can get into trouble. Oh, I feel guilty that I said no to that activity with my parents. So then I quickly wanted to take away their disappointment. I told them I could come the next weekend, even though I really can't do that. So we find that we're making decisions based on what we think we should do, or with this sort of attempt to control someone else's emotions. And that can really lead to disappointment, to guilt, and to us just feeling like we're getting everything wrong.
You mentioned that word control, which I think is interesting, and something that's often said about women is that sometimes we need to relinquish control a little bit because there's so much mental load with all of the things you mentioned, thinking of the parents, the colleagues, the friends, the birthday parties, the kids, and really carrying all other people's emotions along with our own. Is it important that we begin to let go of things a little bit and, you know, let somebody else organize X, Y, Z, or have those boundaries and just say, no, that doesn't suit me right now?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's why I talk about both boundaries and the art of delegation in the book, because I see boundaries not as a wall we're putting up between ourselves and others, but rather that sort of support structure that allows us to safely and lovingly engage with them. It creates the safe space where I know that you're going to hopefully recognize my boundaries and take, you know, what I'm able to give you here, as opposed to saying I need more and more and more. So I think boundaries that are consistent, you may need to edit them as time goes. There may be different times of your life where different boundaries might need a bit of tweaking, but to be aware of what they are and consistently communicating them. And then also the art of delegation, the ability to say, I am a strong and wise person because I know how to ask for help, I know how to reach out, I know how to gather people to help me. I think, as opposed to this narrative we might carry with us that I have to be superwoman and any asking for help means I've failed or means I'm letting people down or I'm not good enough.
Well, it's a message I always love to share. It always makes me feel sad when I hear, you know, women are apologizing for themselves for how they look, you know, how they're showing up in the world, feeling guilty because they ate a piece of cake, and everything that you've spoken about so far. Let's try put down the guilt and replace it with a little more self-compassion. The book is called Guilt Free: Reclaiming Your Life from Unreasonable Expectations. Dr. Jennifer Reid, thank you so much for coming on.
Claire, thank you for having me.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.